Welcome back to the program. I'm Zev Brenner. Our guest is first-time author Susan B. McGee. Her career spans diverse realms of politics, economics, and she gave that up to matters of the heart, mediation, and to write a book about the Holocaust seen through the eyes of artist Kalman Aaron. Beautiful new book come out called Into the Light, The Healing Art of Kalman Aaron, and a lot of beautiful pictures, which the story is told through drawings. So you mentioned before, Susan, that Kalman didn't really feel comfortable in being in the limelight telling the story.
That's right.
And you got him over a course of time to tell the story. How did that change him?
Well, very interesting. There have been enormous benefits for his courage to go back and remember. He told me when I did 18 hours of interviews with him in the very beginning, he said, "Susan, you know more about me than anyone on this earth." The benefits have been a new ease within his own body, and you can see it in his paintings. He made a decision. He had been married and divorced 3 times. He made a decision to marry for the fourth time.
Was that the influence of the Holocaust that he had trouble? Is that,
or yes,
because
absolutely.
He's an artist, and artists have also sometimes different personality?
I would say his wives would say the Holocaust shut him off in a certain way, that he wasn't accessible. And I think he probably would agree with that. He made a decision to marry a fourth time. I don't think he would have done that had he not told his story. He also is able to let go of things. He has been asked for years to show his, what I call, echoes of the Holocaust, the paintings he's done that clearly came out of his experience. And he's always said no. 2010, he was honored at a exhibit in California at an opening of a Rancho Mirage Tolerance Education Center. He had done this 8-by-3-foot painting of the mother and child. It is a masterpiece. It now hangs in the L.A. Holocaust Museum. He had that for 60 years in his studio and never allowed it to go out. After he told his story, he allowed it to be shown and actually be given to this museum in Los Angeles, which is the oldest. LA museum is the oldest one in the country. But the fourth thing, which I think is so powerful, as I said, he learned to be literally invisible. In order to do this book, and once we were done and had a big celebration in the Simon Wiesenthal Center with Rabbi Heyer and the two California governors, Davis and Wilson, honoring him, and I did my full presentation of his art, Kalman came on the stage and he was beaming. Before any time that he was had any public notoriety, he would end up literally in the hospital. He'd end up sick. His heart would be racing. So to a certain degree, telling his story has given him the feeling of safety that he can be seen in the world and he won't be killed. Now, the caveat always with someone like Kalman who's gone through what he's gone through, he'll never be completely free of what happened.
Well, how old is he now?
He's 88. He's 88.
Thank God. And still going, we'll talk about, he's supposed to come to New York. We'll talk about your exhibit and your speaking that you're doing here. But before we do that, while he was reticent and didn't like talking about the Holocaust, but being in California, wasn't he recognized by Hollywood ties? Didn't he have an association with people like Ronald Reagan and others?
Yes, Ronald Reagan commissioned him to paint his portrait for the presidential campaign in 1980. Andre Previn commissioned him to do his portrait. The author, Henry Miller, they became good friends. He did a portrait of Henry Miller. A lot of Hollywood stars, Vincent Price, David Powell, folks that are no longer with us, purchased his paintings. He was a major, he's done major figures, public figures, portraits. He's a fabulous portrait artist. The mayor of Max Saltzer, the mayor of Beverly Hills, and the Supreme Court Justice of California. So Hollywood directors and actors and producers came to his studio, and they bought his paintings in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
But they had
and 80s.
No idea that he was a Holocaust survivor.
They had no idea.
He didn't talk about it at all.
No. He made a decision, and his first wife, Trudy, who came, she was at 13 on the Kindergarten train from Austria to England, and they met in Vienna after the war. and came to America. They married and came to America together. And Kalman made a conscious decision, and they agreed to this, not to discuss it, because he found that when he hung out with any survivor and they talked about what happened, it took him down so deeply that he could not function. So they made a decision to seek new friends and set that history aside until age 78, when he chose to remember.
Now, what happened at age 78? What was the linchpin? What was the catalyst? What was the one thing, if there was such a one thing, that decided to say to you, Susan, do my story?
I can only guess. I think the pain of not remembering became greater than the pain of remembering. And in addition, in his son, there's a chapter in the book, Through the Eyes of his son David, who's who will be in New York tomorrow night with me at the event at the museum. His son David went through a very rough time, which he refers to as a Saturn return. And he thinks that having gone through what he went through, and both his parents, they're not married, but they're, you know, both parents helped David come back into the world of the living. And then David married, and David thinks that what he went through as a son gave Kalman permission to remember. And I suspect that's true in a mysterious way.
Now, how did the Holocaust shape his religious experience? Did he continue that? Tell us.
No, he gave up any interest in God. And that continues to this day. He is a deeply spiritual man, but he will say, how could God allow what happened, what I saw before my eyes happened to babies and mothers and human beings? So it turned him off. So he's respectful, but he is not a religious man. He is a very spiritual man. There's a rabbi who's no longer with us, Jacob Sonderling, who loved the intersection of art and religion. And he was the founder of the temple, Fairfax Temple in Los Angeles. And he and Kalman spent a lot of time talking about art and religion. And he's a lovely, lovely rabbi. And he wrote to Kalman a note that said, while you are not a religious man, you're a man of great spirit. And that's true, but not religious.
But growing up, how did he grow up in Latvia?
His parents were Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
They kept a kosher house, you know, a very traditional Jewish family, very active. And he, even as a boy, had questions and didn't get very good answers, he'll tell you, from the rabbi at the time. And then he went through the experience of the Holocaust, and he did see babies thrown up in the air and shot. And that just, I mean, it just, you know. And at the end of the war, he was talking to a rabbi and said, you know, why? How could God let this happen to little babies? They're innocent. They're innocent. And the rabbi answered, it's the sins of the father. And he said, Susan, that's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So he doesn't go there.
Now, you're going to be tomorrow in New York. You're actually here in New York right now. Tomorrow is going to be a special event for the book. The book is a gorgeous book. So tell us about what's transpiring tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 6:30, tomorrow night, at the Museum of Jewish Heritage in Battery Park, we're having a book event and panel discussion. Jean Block Rosensaft will be there as the moderator. I'll do a presentation of Kalman's story through his art, including some Shoah clips from his 1994 Shoah interview and some clips of the film clips, because he was going to be here. He really wanted to be here. And when he couldn't get it because of his health, we took some film last week of Kalman in his studio. And also it's the 20-year anniversary of Schindler's List, so it's appropriate to have these Shoah clips included in the presentation that I'm going to do. It's a very powerful presentation. His story it captures everybody. It's so powerful, and it's so interesting because it's visual. So I will do that, and then David Aaron, his son, will be with me, and Gene Rosensaft, and we're going to answer some questions that Gene has for us, and then open it up to the audience. It's in the beautiful room that overlooks the Statue of Liberty. So we'll be there from 6:30 to about 8:30 or 9. Books will be sold. David and I are both going to sign them. David's got one chapter in the book, so I said, you sign these books too. And then Thursday night, I'll do a book reading at Barnes & Noble on 86th Street and Lexington at 7 p.m. So those are the two things in New York. The big event is tomorrow night, and then we'll have a lovely book reading, again, with a PowerPoint presentation of his art, because that's how you see his story.
We have beautiful pictures, and people can, if they make it to the event, they can certainly buy it online.
Absolutely.
In stores. It's called Into the Light, The Healing Art of Kalman Aaron. I want to thank you, Susan B. McGee, for being with us, for writing such a book, spending 9 years. What's your next book going to be about?
My journey.
Your journey.
And my spiritual journey, and one chapter will be doing this work, this book with Kalman.
Final question. Did you walk away with a different appreciation of Judaism?
Of course.
And what was
that? But I always had, yes, I learned so much.
Was there any one thing that fascinated you or that grabbed you the most?
Two things. In Riga, here are these, as he said, it was a poor Jewish neighborhood on the outskirts of the medieval town of Riga. My father and uncle, every night, sat and listened to the radio. He never spoke German. He never spoke Latvian. He listened and understood every single word. His father was from Russia. He spoke Yiddish. This intellectual interest continuing always in a Jewish family about the world and what's going on around them. I love that image. The other thing that really is a more painful one, when I was in Warsaw, I had a guide, and there's a Jewish school there, and there are guards. And that hurts me to see guards, to see that you have to have guards around children. I was recently in another school in America, and the same thing. That's just a painful reminder of the anti-Semitism and the hatred.
Yeah, certainly, unfortunately, still exists, despite what happened, the killing, the genocide, the Holocaust of over 60 years ago. Susan, thank you for being here with us. Susan McGee, thank you.
Thank you.
Continued success, and thank you for bringing out this story.
Thanks a lot. I love doing this, Ev.
Thank you. You'll join us again.
Great. All righty.
And we're going to be right back. Don't go away. Stay tuned.